Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Well, there seems to be some changes on the horizon for Bonnaroo 2019. And that's why we're here. Welcome to the What Podcast. A very special off-season edition of the What Podcast. That's Barry Corder from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I'm Brad Steiner from WDOD Radio in Chattanooga, a top 40 station playing Beyonce and fart jokes. Why are we talking about Bonnaroo? Because it is our passion. Had you not been with us for the last, 8 months, let us reintroduce ourselves again. That's Barry. I'm Brad. We like Bonnaroo.
We're back.
So welcome back, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. I've been good. How are you?
You know, it took a few months off. I feel like I've been in like Bonnaroo rehab. You know, you have to go away for a while, turn your brain off from it. And then as soon as you're back, you jump right back in.
I used to take all this time to sort of forget the smell of porta potties.
Sure.
And forget all that. But honestly, I think we had such a good time this last year that I think about it a lot.
And do you?
I think, because we had a good group, and I see a lot of those people for whatever reason a little bit more this year. Not just you, but some of the other campmates.
Yeah.
And we all say the same thing. It was a good, fun year.
It was a great year, and we, it's become one of those things where Bonnaroo has, so stuck in our world and so stuck in our minds that it becomes a year-long thing.
Yeah.
If we're not talking about Bonnaroo, we're talking about what happened last year, or we're talking about what happened 2 years ago, or we're talking what's going to happen this year, we're pontificating on the lineup.
Yep.
You know, we're trying to figure out what's going on in the changes in the farm in Manchester, maybe Coffee County in general.
Right.
Maybe it's who's operating the festival. And there seems to be all kinds of stuff to talk about when it comes to Bonnaroo, because I don't want to call it drama, but there's definitely some movement. Something's
happening.
It's
a big deal. And I think another part of it is, especially you do more so than I do, but there are other festivals. We had one in Chattanooga for the first time this year with Moon River, which just so happens to have been produced by AC Entertainment, which does Bonnaroo. So there's that. And it was just a little while ago.
Yeah.
So there's that comparison factor.
Sure. You know? Well, yeah, it is remarkable. And we'll talk about some of the changes that are going on around the farm, inside Bonnaroo, how the operation is working here in a minute. We're going to talk to Daniel from Rubus. If you follow at Rubus on Twitter, he's been breaking a lot of news about what's been going on. And to watch it, so this is what's interesting. You get to watch somebody break news that you already know, and they get to do all the heavy lifting. And he's got it. And he's got some sort of inside
he's
source.
Connected.
And we're going to talk to him about some of that information. But back to your point about the other festivals, it is almost impossible to see what Bonnaroo does, see what they do well, and then go to another festival and not look around and be like, meh.
Yeah, I know. I know. And what's strange, and to give Daniel a lot of credit, I think a part of the reason we're back here talking about this is because he's so active. I mean, he's every day on Twitter.
Much like a lot of the other, like, constant Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroobian, Bonnarooster, those guys. And it's not just, I mean, there is some amount of, gosh, I wish Bonnaroo was tomorrow, but it's news. They have actual news because they're obsessed with it like we are. What's interesting about the comparisons is, in my mind anyway, going to the other ones, visiting them, hearing about them reaffirms to me how important that whole camping experience is.
That's right.
The thing that we, you know, piss and moan about is really the thing that we like about it.
If you're not preparing your campsite now, you're probably going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You might as well have to start doing it now. When we go through what's going to happen today on the latest edition of the What Podcast, I would love to hear your thoughts on changes that should be or could be coming to Bonnaroo. Maybe you want to pontificate on the year that was that had just passed. Drop us a line at the What Podcast on Twitter or thewhatpodcast.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, a little bit later on the show, we're going to give you our wish list. Maybe bands that we want to see at Bonnaroo. I see this on InfoRoo a lot. I see it on the Reddit threads in the subreddits, but everybody's got their Bonnaroo wish list of bands that they want to see. It always starts with, like, back in the day, Prince. You know, Daft Punk is always up there. Foo Fighters are a constant because you look around and you wonder, there are certain artists that you don't understand have never been there.
Right.
Coldplay, you know, God almighty, Coldplay's terrible, but why have they not been there is shocking. Foo Fighters is bizarre why they've never been there. They're always on the list. Justin Timberlake is always on somebody's short list of acts they want to see. We're going to go through Brewbus's wish list. He's got some rumors about who's going to be appearing at Bonnaroo this year, and then we'll go through ours. And so if you want to drop us a line about who you want to be at Bonnaroo this year, send it to us, thewhatpodcast.com. I'm hoping that because we know that the Bonnaroo people listen, hopefully this moves the needle a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, maybe it puts somebody on their radar that they weren't thinking of or confirms somebody they were on the fence about.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, one way or another, sure.
Yeah.
I'd also like to hear from people, because we really didn't do it afterwards, what they liked about the changes or what they thought about the changes, in particular the pods, all that. We've talked about it quite a bit. But for those people that actually lived it, I'd love to hear, you know, what that was like.
Sure.
Because we kind of dropped in on it. We weren't there 24 hours.
No, we dropped in a couple of times, and not only what you liked about it, I'd love to hear some stories.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
I'd love to hear some stories, because we have a million of hours.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear yours. Communicate with us. Maybe we'll do another podcast in the meantime, just of, you know, your experiences.
Absolutely.
And your stories. I'd love to do that.
That'd be great fun. Yep.
All right, let's talk to Daniel from Rubus. Now, tell me how you found Rubus. I found him mainly because I follow all the guys on Twitter. The Rooster, Festival Owl, all those guys. Those are the guys who keep the conversation going, and Rubus has been one. That's how I found him. How did you find him?
I think I first became aware of the bus. I remember seeing, and we talk about it a little bit, when he bought it, I guess, he and his three other people. I do remember that. I remember thinking, wow, there's a bus that's been around for a while, and someone, rather than get rid of it, they more or less passed it on to somebody else. And we'll hear him talk about it. It blows me away that he's only been going since 2013.
That is pretty crazy.
He is passionate about it.
You know what's great is what Bonnaroo does. It creates, like, regular everyday people to be characters in this show called Bonnaroo.
That's a great point.
It is fascinating to me. You know, we have a guy that lives here in Chattanooga that's Bonnaroo Santa.
Yeah.
Like, he literally was called from the Bonnaroo people as Bonnaroo Santa. And he walks around with a big white beard at Bonnaroo every single year. His name's Packer Pete, Dan Peterson. I know him well. You've got the Bonnaroo Rooster. You've got the Rubus. There are so many characters in this play called Bonnaroo that it's so much fun. And that's what's been so fun for me about doing this show, is that we've gotten to meet some of them. And we've gotten to experience them, and I didn't even know that they were around for a while.
Yeah, but you said something a second ago that I hadn't really thought about, and it's to the credit. Credit should go to the people who put on Bonnaroo. They're good about seeing somebody like Bonnaroo Santa and embracing it, rather than, hey, it's our party, you didn't ask permission, kind of, you know what I mean? they take it all in, like with us. I mean, they've been very helpful and receptive to us for this podcast, and the bus. Right. You know, Daniel says they go a little bit early and get a, you know, a spot. So it's a welcoming kind of festival,
right,
and you feel
right
that all from top to bottom. And
right,
I think that's really important. And right, to your earlier question, other than hearing about the bus, I found him on Twitter just like you did.
Okay.
I kept thinking after Bonner, I was like, wow, it's June and he's still talking about it. It's July. He's yeah still talking about it. It's right August.
Welcome to Labor Day. Here's some Bonnaroo
he's
news.
He's still talking about it.
Let's break some Bonnaroo news now with Rubus. Here we go. What's happening, Daniel? I'm Brad. That's Barry. How are things?
Not too bad. Just had lunch over here in Huntsville. What are you guys up to?
Is that where you live? Is that where the Rubus is actually stationed, is Huntsville?
Yeah, we're in just outside of Huntsville, Alabama. We're about hour and a half drive away from Manchester.
How did you first get into Bonnaroo? What was the thing that hooked you?
Well, my wife and I started going back in 2013. I had wanted to go for years, and I had some friends at my university trying to get me to go with them. But it was Paul McCartney being on the lineup back right then that really finally got us to go. We've been hooked ever since.
And then was that the first year you brought the bus? When did the bus actually start? When did that actually get going?
So the bus has been going to the farm for close to 10 years now.
Oh, yeah?
It was previously owned by a couple that used to live just a few miles away from the farm. They bought it, I think, Coffee County. It used to be a prison bus, and then they converted it.
Nice.
And,
nice.
No, I kid you not. Yeah, yeah. And they converted it probably around, I want to say, like 2009, 10. I don't know exactly. And they recently moved down to the Gulf Coast near Pensacola. And we had known them for a little while. We parked next to them when we used to have a small RV. We had seen the bus then. And, yeah, we ended up buying it from them and continuing the tradition.
That's pretty cool. I thought I remembered seeing something about it selling and changing hands. And there was like a big ceremony and stuff, wasn't there?
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know about ceremony, but we came to their place and picked it up before they moved.
I thought yeah there was a big party or something.
Sure, always. Well,
oh,
if it's a
party all the time.
If it's a prison bus, I don't know what kind of party you're wanting to throw there, Barry.
I've heard tell that there was once a party in there with like 100 people on board inside the bus.
That's pretty
like,
cool.
We've had maybe 20, but nothing like that.
That's pretty cool.
So, do you take the bus? Do you take the bus to other music festivals, or are you try to just are you just regular commuter with regular cars and such?
Yeah, we've been to a number of other ones. We're trying to cover a bit more in the Southeast as far as like the media stuff that we're doing with the bus. Mm. But no, it just goes to Bonnaroo, and we take it to okay a lot of places, kind of around here in Huntsville and throughout
yeah
North Alabama.
Yeah, just making sure because you know you have the Roo bus and maybe like the Hangout Camry. You know, it's a...
No, Hangout actually does have a bus. I haven't seen it, but I had some friends send me some pictures.
Oh,
like
stop it.
And stuff all over it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, that's interesting that you do a lot of different festivals because we normally focus on nothing but Bonnaroo here on this podcast, but festival life is sort of in our blood, and I've been having this conversation with Barry and others for the better part of 8 months now, and going from festival to festival... is quite almost musical culture shock in that you can find something so completely different, even with the same lineup. We had a music festival here in town called Moon River, and
I was there.
You were? I thought.
Did you really?
Came up? Yeah, I wish we'd have reached out prior. We'd have hooked up.
Yeah. So Chattanooga throws their own music festival. Atlanta, of course, you have Music Midtown and Shaky Knees, but the difference between those two music festivals is so unbelievably big and so unbelievably large. One has a culture and has created a culture and an identity and a brand, set of brand values. And then Music Midtown is just some stages and some vendors and enjoy. What do you see when you go from festival to festival? What do you see as the main difference between them all?
Well, you're right. I've been to a number. We were talking about Hangout. I went to that, I guess it was 3 years ago or so. And it's, you would think it's Bonnaroo on the beach, but it's not. It's got more of like a frat party vibe to it. It's put on by the same company that does Coachella out in California, so it's got a little bit of that vibe to it as well. And the lineup is similar if you look at it. And they've gone a little EDM heavy like everybody has in the past couple of years, but once you get there and get around, it's like, yeah, it's fun, but it has a different vibe. Like if you are really dead set on Bonnaroo, you're going to be always just a little bit disappointed when you go to another festival.
Yeah.
Another example, Sloth Fest in our home state here in Alabama. They had some trouble this year. I hope they're going to return. But it's great. It's like a miniature Bonnaroo that kind of has the good indie band lineup that right. they have, but also some stuff that's for the local taste in Birmingham. They usually like a little bit more folk or country over there a little bit.
If there's any festival inside this country that is more tied to the local community, it's probably Slossfest. They do a very good job of incorporating local artists, local art, local vendors. Slossfest is very much Birmingham. It's very Birmingham.
It is. I really hope they return. They had some problems like a lot of other festivals did with weather and PR this year, and I'd really like to see them come back. They've been a great asset to the state and Birmingham.
Yeah. I haven't been, but the one in New Orleans, I can't even think
Which
of the
one?
Name of it. The big one.
Jazz Fest?
Jazz Fest
sure.
does what you're talking about, and there's one in Milwaukee that has does a good job of that.
We went to the Voodoo Festival in New Orleans last year.
That was last October, right? Beck was headlining.
Yeah. It was a pretty good vibe. It was once you get to the grounds, it was a lot like Bonnaroo. You know, of course, everything is Halloween themed, so there's people with like skeletons and different costumes and stuff. But it was a pain in the butt because you have to go from your hotel on the other side of town down to the city park, and like traffic is a nightmare. And it's just like, our crew has learned that city fests aren't necessarily for us. Camping fests are where it's at.
Right. So you definitely see that. You see that as a big driver as to which festivals you tend to enjoy more than others.
Yeah, exactly. I wish we had more options around here for that, but can't complain when Bonnaroo is just an hour and a half
so
up the road.
You said something that's pretty interesting. You know, that if your opening salvo is Bonnaroo, it's sort of like never flying before and getting first class. You really can't go back. Because there's not another experience like it. You can find things that are similar. I think that Hangout, to me, is 1B. I think Hangout is an amazing festival, especially if you like pop music. It's exceptionally well done. There's really not a place that you can't find a good spot to see a show. It's intimate enough. It's not, the grounds aren't big. I think Four Castle is tremendously well done in Louisville. And
yes,
I'd
love to try that one.
And I think of the Atlanta Festival, Shaky Knees has it over Music Midtown, which I think Music Midtown is a complete and utter disaster. And frankly, not to beat up on Slossfest a bit, Slossfest is tough for me. I'd love a festival that has a strong brand integrity and values that they set forth. But first, Slossfest is incredibly hot. I've never been to a hotter experience in my life. There is literally one stage that is nothing but an oven. You stand inside microwaves, it feels like.
It's inside the shed.
I know exactly
what you're talking about.
And then the other problem with it a little bit is I tend to not like festivals where it feels like you bought the stage, you got the lineup, and then you set up some vendors. Now let's go have a festival. There's really other sort of culture tying me together that I need. Music Midtown is the biggest problem for me with that.
And you know, on that point, I think that's where Bonnaroo has been the strongest in the past two or three years. I think they've slowly realized they have to really lean into the community engagement part of Bonnaroo, which is why they've done a lot more in the campgrounds. They've really built up the infrastructure out there with a couple of new barns, new activities that are sprinkled throughout the pods, or plazas as they're calling it now. And I think, to me at least, that's half the value of going to Bonnaroo. Of course,
that's
I'm
right.
there for like the headliners and other
Well,
bands.
That was us.
But
this
it's also the crazy, stupid stuff that I get into with like new buddies out there.
Right.
That was us this year. I spent some time with one of our campmates who has run music venues here for 30 years, knows the business, you know, loves the music as much as anybody, but he said this was his favorite Bonnaroo. I think this was my favorite Bonnaroo, and it was that community thing. The lineup was good. We found some great stuff to see. Warren Treaty has become one of my favorites, for example. Mavis, Nile Rodgers, all of those were highlights, but it was the community thing. And for me, it's the fact that you don't have to drive across town. It's the fact that you're already there.
You're in town.
You're there.
Yeah, it is.
There's
it
nothing
is
to do but that festival. That's why you're there. And I think that just makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, and they did a superb job with the pods. I thought the plazas were terrifically done. Yeah. Which one are you in? Which one did you have the bus parked in?
Well, the bus is in kind of like the general admission RV area.
Okay.
It's kind of in the corner, like when you come in from the highway entrance, when you're like kind of close to the tower.
Do they hold a spot for you?
Well, we were very gracious that the Bonnaroo folks let us come in a little early this past year because we had to set up for the Wednesday night party that we held with Camp Redaroo.
Yeah, that's cool. That's real cool.
That is awesome. So,
but usually they're very accommodating with folks like that.
All right, now go ahead, Barry.
I want to go back. I'm it's still rolling around in my head that you've only been going since 13. But and the reason we wanted to talk to you partly is because I see so much activity on Twitter. I mean, it's become a year round kind of part of life for you, hasn't it?
I do not try to hide the fact at all that I am obsessed with Bonnaroo.
Yeah. I think that's cool. And I think that's why we decided, you know, we started that podcast thinking it would end, what, June 14th or 15th, and that would be it for, you know, till next.
Well, honestly, we ran out of material the 1st of May.
Well, so. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Probably did nine too many.
No. I never run out of material with Bonnaroo. There's always.
Well, that's, I kept telling Brad, I'm like, there's a lot of activity going on Twitter from Bonnaroovian, who we were fortunate enough to meet, and
the Rooster.
By the Rooster, yeah. and you. And I thought, I think we can do this more often.
Yeah.
And,
so it's almost like what the NFL does. The NFL has created 12 months a year. You're talking about the NFL. Bonnaroo is sort of become that. And a lot of it has to do with the news that happens and sprinkles out throughout the year, which, crazily enough, you seem to stumble upon.
Yeah.
How do you get these tips?
Well, I drive the bus, and it's a big friendly blue bus, so people tend to tell me things.
Awesome.
Well, all right. So fill us in. What do you know that we don't know that's been going on the last few months since the festival has been going on?
I have to be careful what I say, because a lot of that is up to the AC office in Nashville to dictate how they want to get information out. I don't want to step on their toes. But I can tell you that, and I think this is fairly widely known now, for the past 2 or 3 years after Live Nation bought out AC Entertainment, and obviously Bonnaroo is part of that, they had been doing solely the booking through one of their agencies. This year will change because AC will be coming back and kind of supporting their booking. So essentially what a lot of people are believing that to mean will be that we're going to see a lineup next year that will kind of return to Bonnaroo's roots. As for who that will be as far as the booking goes, we don't know that for sure yet, but we do know that it's probably likely that we can expect another jam band or two than we've seen the past couple of years. Maybe another classic headliner that we haven't seen for about 2 years now, and maybe some other stuff that kind of goes back to the lineups of, like, let's say, prior to 2014.
Well, I can corroborate what you're saying.
Me too.
Because we have heard exactly the same things.
Yeah.
Almost more precisely in that C3 won't be a part of it in the way
exactly.
that they have been part of it in the past.
And that AC, the AC, will.
All right, so now see, this is... We could probably do an entire show just on this topic. I don't necessarily know, and I'm going to reserve judgment, but I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it's...
I personally think it is.
Okay.
I think that the lineups the past 2 years, while they have been good, they've been very similar to many of the other lineups that you would see at something like Firefly,
that's
Hangout.
Right. That's right.
And like, if you want that lineup, you can go to those places. Bonnaroo, to me, is a place where there's an insane diversity of music. I want that. I want to be introduced to stuff that I've never heard of. I don't want to see a lineup that I'm going to see at every other place. So I think if Mr. Capps is getting back into that and having a hand in getting acts that he wants to see, I think that's great for everybody.
I think so, but tag on to what Brad was asking, because he and I talked about this the other day.
By the way, I'm not making a statement about it. I'm just asking.
It's legit. And I think part B of the question is what segment of the market it was not appealed to the last couple of years? I know, you know, they went heavy with EDM, which I think worked. They brought in, they didn't have the, you know, a McCartney type classic rocker. To bring in maybe
funny that
segment.
Funny that you mentioned that, by the way.
Yeah, I know you've hinted at, and I would love it. That was such a huge moment for so many people, and I'd love to see him again, and he's obviously actively out there promoting his new record.
Which is so terrible, but okay.
It's not
it's that very bad.
but the promotion that he's been doing has been pretty great.
Oh,
but,
sure, he's everywhere.
But so, to the question, what is missing? The jam band, obviously, and you mentioned that for sure is one. But what's the segment of that audience? You know, it went from 80,000 and plus to high 40s, low 50s the last couple of years. So that's 30,000 people that weren't there.
Yeah, I was there in 2016 when it took a nosedive, which to me, coincidentally, that was my favorite year.
Me too.
Because it was such a good,
I loved it.
There was such a good community aspect that year because there was less of a crowd to fight, you know.
Absolutely.
personally, what I think has caused that change is something that was going to happen anyways. The market has just become so saturated.
I agree.
We've seen so many festivals this year get canceled and, you know, in some cases called off for good because there's so many options. You know, it's no longer the case where Coachella is where you go if you're on the West Coast or Bonnaroo is where you go on the East Coast. There's one basically in every region that always has a good lineup.
Right.
And I think that's why Bonnaroo has been smart to really focus more on community as opposed to solely the lineup.
I think
their numbers the past 2 years show that. They're doing a very good market reach to kind of like the college-age crowd.
Well, then again, it lends the question as to why the change is needed anyway. Because I think that we start asking the wrong question. If you start with the idea that, ask the question, what's the goal? What's the ideal number? What are you trying to go after?
That was my
And if you no longer are needing 80,000 people and you would rather super serve 45 to 60, then the whole game changes. The platform and the whole foundation of the operation is totally different. And you can do things that are a lot crazier and a lot more bizarre and a lot more fun.
Ashley Capps was here for Moon River Rubus, and he said something.
I love how you refer to him as Rubus.
Well, I was either that or...
It's Daniel.
Rubus. That's the What podcast across from me.
Well, there's actually four of us. Just to back up a step, there's myself, my wife, Charla, our friends, Chelsea, and Brooklyn. So it's collectively all of us.
No
but
kidding.
Most of the time when you see stuff on social, it's me or Charla.
Oh, I got you. All right.
He said to me, we were talking about Moon River selling out so fast, and he said, the good news there is once we sold those tickets, we could focus on doing the small things really well.
Ah, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
That's a really great point.
And that sort of gets to your point. If the number is 45 or 50 or 55, that's your target, and you're getting there, then they can focus on the pods and the extras and all that, I think they have.
But will the conversation ever change until they come out and say, look, we're not shooting for 80,000 people anymore. We're not trying to be 90,000 McCartney year anymore.
Well, we put that on me because I didn't ask that question.
Okay.
And I will next time I talk to them.
Mr. Capps doesn't probably want to talk about this yet, but I think if that
it's a fair
is
question.
Something they're looking at about being okay with the smaller crowd at Bonnaroo, part of the reason for that may be is because there's the potentiality of additional events happening on the farm in the next couple of years.
That's right.
Like what?
Well, they've been talking forever.
Well,
that's the whole reason. Yeah, the whole reason they've done all this infrastructure work is so they could have multiple events throughout the year. They just haven't.
The rumor that we've heard is that, you know, they've been cooperating a lot with the CMA Fest in order to, you know, the Bonnaroo Weekend will be moved back a week next year because they don't want to compete with that in a year. We've also heard that they're continuing to have talks with the Grand Ole Opry after having that on the farm last year. So what we've heard, not from anybody official, but from some other folks in the know, is that the next event that will happen on the farm is some type of country Americana fest in the fall.
Yeah, that's always been the plan. And it won't be a camping type of thing, or if it probably not, because what they've told me is that
country fans don't camp.
Country camp fans don't camp. Pure and simple.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Yeah, they opened an office in Nashville. You know, they're headquartered in Knoxville. They opened an office in Nashville. They've opened up the day events. They've got the buses, the shuttle buses. So the relationship with Nashville definitely has grown in the last 3 or 4 years. So that makes sense.
What is some other news that you've heard throughout the ensuing months from Bonnaroo? Their bus? Mr. Bus?
Mr. Bus.
Come on, guys. It's just saying it.
I like Rubus.
Rubus, whatever. Well, we've heard a little bit about like who may be playing. Of course, we know who we want to see playing, but we kind of went up a bit a moment ago about McCartney. Kind of makes a lot of sense that he might be coming back next year. His tour skips Atlanta and Nashville, and he coincidentally has a break in his tour dates right around, you know, that weekend in June.
Really? You've actually, hang on a second, I don't mean to interrupt, but you've actually heard McCartney as a name again?
I'm seeing his name going around a lot. I mean, I know that they want to bring in another classic headliner next year, and he sold a hell of a lot of tickets in 2013,
yeah, he did.
So it only makes sense.
All right, so I haven't gone onto the Infaroos in the message boards in a while. I've sort of taken some time off, but give me some other rumored names that they're talking about.
A lot of people are talking about My Morning Jacket. They're probably going to have a new album out early next year. They sell a lot of tickets to veterans. You know, they've had a long history at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, and the management and Bonnaroo are almost one and the same.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, they're clearly always welcome there. I mean, just give them the witch state and give them until sunrise.
seriously.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, they could play for 4 hours, and that would be so heart and soul Bonnaroo, wouldn't it?
I wish. I would love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We've also heard there's a possibility of fish next year. I personally kind of doubt that, but I'd be happy with it. It'd be cool. Odessa, I would be willing to put a bet on being our EDM headliner next year. Let's see, what else? Greta Van Fleet, they're very popular. Those kids are getting to be a big deal. Yeah. Bonnaroo tends to always look the hot at a year late, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Yeah, and then put them on the smallest stage, Frank Ocean. Thank you so much. All right, yeah. So here's the thing, and I don't mean to, God, I feel like such a sourpuss today, but if
it's who you are.
That McCartney show meant so much to me in 2013. I'm going to say something crazy. I'm not going to go see it again.
Mm.
I may not go see it again. That show meant, it had everything. And it was such a moment. It was such a seminal moment in so many people's lives. I don't know if I want to jump back in that pool.
I hear you. It's an interesting thought. You did. I don't know if you know this, Daniel. Brad literally watched a guy propose to a woman. What, during Live and Let Die?
No, it's just, so he does Maybe I'm Amazed, right? Okay. And he drops down to one knee right in front of us and proposes during Maybe I'm Amazed. And I'm crying. I'm hugging these strangers. I'm high-fiving the dude. It was just the most amazing, like chilling moment. Yeah. And then literally the next song, Live and Let Die, fireworks everywhere. It's like the guy knew the set list before he got it.
It's hard to top.
It's hard to top, yes. I felt like I got married, you know? But it was just such an amazing moment. I don't know if I can repeat that. Well, I wanted to keep that
I'll
special.
I'll put it this way. One of my favorite mid-card bands, in fact, one of my favorite bands, period, is Portugal the Man.
Me too.
I've seen them 4 times now.
Yeah.
Each show, I'm just as hype about.
Just gets McCartney better and better, that show.
Loved musician in the world. I have no problem seeing him again.
Okay. Yeah, you got to get him while you can get him, too, because, you know, it ain't going to last forever. But I understand what you're saying, Brad. That's an interesting thing about that, because when you were talking about some of those bands, Fish, you know, they've been there. It feels when you say it that way, not you, I don't mean to
it
put
feels
that on you.
Familiar?
It feels a little like trying to re-catch, you know, lightning in the bottle a little bit.
See, I take it as it feels like home. People would love those kind of acts because right. It makes them feel familiar again. It gets mom spaghetti sort of feeling, right?
And I think maybe you and
well,
I...
Well, it's not out of the question for Bonnaroo to book headliners.
No, absolutely
like
not.
Radiohead has been there multiple times.
Sure.
Pearl Jam has been there multiple times. Sure. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I tell you what we should
Warren
do.
Warren Haynes was you know, pretty much a regular. And I forget sometimes in the music world that they all come around about every 3 or 4 years and there's a whole new crowd of, you know, people hitting it. It's going to be their first time.
Someone at the Nashville AC office told me a very interesting stat about a year ago. Around 70%, I want to say, of the attendees at any given Bonnaroo are attending their first Bonnaroo.
Wow.
So there's going to be a huge crowd that hadn't seen Paul in 2013.
Wow. That's a big number. I would have not guessed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's something to put on the list to go back and ask him.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, you said something else, too, that's interesting, and we're flying by the seat of our pants on this certain episode, but what if we made our wanted wish list? What if we made our wanted Bonnaroo list? Me and Barry can make ours, but Daniel, who would be your wants? Not people that you think are going to be there. What are your top five wants?
Okay, so as far as like acts that we've never seen on Bonnaroo, it is way past time to get Dolly Parton down to Maine.
I have been saying this for a decade, Daniel. A decade. Dolly Parton would be the most amazing Friday night headliner that you can find. Don't put her in the heat because she might melt. But at night, could you imagine how fun that would be?
You know
Kenny's going to come. Kenny's already been on the farm once. Kenny will swing by in a moment's notice for Dolly. Lionel Richie will show up.
Anybody she invites would come.
I would adore that.
So that Lionel Richie show back in 2014 was one of my favorites. He played before Jack White that night.
That's right.
And he was loving every minute of it. You could tell that he was having the time of his life kind of playing to a younger crowd.
Yeah.
He was like joking around with the crowd and you know, like trolling us and everything. That was such a great slot. I know, like you said, it might be too hot for Miss Dolly to play at that time, but I can really see her being like an opener for somebody like that.
Yeah.
That is my number one swing and miss.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I thought that was a disaster, and it was huge.
I got to put in a plug for my wife's big one.
Okay.
She is dying to see Peter Frampton on the farm.
Interesting.
So I think he would be a good fit, too, maybe in that kind of free headliner slot.
Uh-huh.
Just to bring along that thing that makes his guitar go wah-wah and talk all that.
Right.
The talk box. would he have to do Frampton Comes Alive, the whole, that would it be that, or just whatever he wanted?
Oh, hell yeah. Play that thing in full.
That's interesting that your wife goes Frampton over Paul Simon. I feel like they fit the same glove, don't you?
I think Simon fits the Lionel Richie glove.
Really? You think so? Yeah. All right, who else you got there, Daniel? Who else is your want list?
I'm hoping some of the AC people are listening to this. For the love of God, please bring Tame Impala back. That was the best show I've ever seen.
That show was interesting for me because I was such a massive LCD Sound System fan. I have been for over a decade. I love him so much. That LCD Sound System show was like the show I missed for a decade. I missed that show every time. I finally got to see it at Bonnaroo. And then directly after that was Tame Impala. I didn't go into the Tame Impala show with the right mindset, if you want to know what I mean. Yeah. So
I know what you mean. I was there at both of those shows.
It was good. It was really good. I need to see it again. See it again.
They supposedly have a new album coming out at some point next year, so I'm hoping it's early in the year, so they'll be on tour. I want to see them back so bad. Their vibe just perfectly fits Bonnaroo.
Yes, it does.
They're such a soulful, lifeful band. I think Kevin Parker is just an absolute genius. I want them back so bad.
Right. And they can pull, if they really wanted to, they can pull a ton of people, a ton of friends that can join them. Almost Bon Iver style, like last year.
Gosh, I could keep going all day. I know that I should probably give the other two ladies at the bus a shout out. They would really love to see Lana Del Rey there next year.
It is so baffling. Now, has she been there before? Have we had Lana yet?
I don't think.
No, we have not. No, because I'm thinking of Lord. It is baffling to me that Lana Del Rey has not been on that festival stage.
I think she could fit the Lord slot that she had a couple of years ago very well.
Yes, she could.
And one more shout out I want to give. There's a really cool band here in Huntsville called the Wolves of Chernobyl. I think they fit the vibe very well.
Say that again. Say that again.
They're called the Wolves of Chernobyl. They're kind of like a progressive folk band if you mixed in Tool with it.
Kidding.
Give them a Google search. You'll see what I mean. I think they'd be a great Thursday band.
Interesting. We really do appreciate you talking to us. We love talking shop with any Bonnaroo vet. Yeah, let's do it again. Let's do it again before festival time. Let's talk plenty.
Well, we're going to have some fun stuff coming up over the next month with a kind of fun secret project that we're working on. And then we will definitely be doing our Wednesday night party with the boys and girls from Camp Redaroo on the Wednesday night of Bonnaroo. And then there's Ichiku that's coming up right before Bonnaroo next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, to explain Ichiru. Now, Ichiru is sort of like trying to bring back what the original Bonnaroo Festival was. And they're trying to do the night before party, right?
Yeah. So, quick history. Ichiku was the first event that was ever held on the farm grounds in 1999. This was, two, 3 years before the actual Bonnaroo started. It was a great idea, but it was a bit of a mess. It kind of turned into a footnote and a joke, but still like a cherished one. They are bringing it back to an extent. So, I have to be careful what I say. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But it will happen the day before Bonnaroo starts on Tuesday at a location that is virtually walkable. And, again, I'll let them announce that. They haven't let all the details out yet.
Just what I need.
Yeah, it means we got to go
another
on
day. Right? No, knowing us, we'll be there Monday.
Oh, my God.
We're going to be there Monday to Monday.
We were there this year, I guess like you were, Dan.
Wednesday morning.
From Wednesday morning until Monday morning.
That's right.
And then
it is mainly an event that's put on by some of the good folks that host us every year from the city of Manchester, and they have some cool things in store. I've been speaking with them a bit and helping out a bit.
Oh, good.
Definitely worth looking forward to.
Well, Daniel, if you ever need anything from us, you give us a call. No questions asked. We'll be there for you.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
Do you have the Tennessee homesick blues there, Barry Corder?
I like how she says fish.
Yeah. Fishing hole. That's Barry Corder and Brad Steiner. This is the What Podcast, a podcast for Bonnaroovians by Bonnaroovians. Really one of the top level, top line Bonnaroovians, RuBus. Thanks for joining us. Daniel from the RuBus, at RuBus. You can follow along all the breaking news. And I loved his poll for artists that he wants to see at Bonnaroo. It's been my top line, my top want and desire for a decade is Dolly Parton.
I know.
I think nothing makes more sense than Dolly Parton.
He said that to us, and I've thought about it over and over and over, and that's just perfect. How come I didn't think of that?
So when I go to, I think that there's, if you don't live in Tennessee, I can understand why you would roll your eyes at Dolly Parton, but she is a god in this state. She is a god. And nobody is revered more in this state than Dolly Parton, period. You can't find one other person that's got a higher
and
level of love.
Deservedly so. Absolutely deservedly so. If you don't know, just for example, when the fires raged through Gatlinburg and burned things up, she paid people's mortgages.
Yeah.
And then did a fundraiser. But right. She out of, I think, her own pocket paid mortgages. But absolutely, you're right.
Her philanthropy is absolutely through the roof. And that's why she's just beloved in the state. And there's nobody that to me, wears Tennessee pride on her sleeve more than she does. And that's why she would just be absolutely perfect.
And she's also perfect. Very, very good. She's an unbelievable songwriter.
And let's be honest, and I hate to bring this part up, but I don't know how many more shows we got out of her.
Well, there's a couple on my list that are that way, especially with, you know, losing Prince and losing Bowie
and Aretha Franklin,
and Tom Petty and Aretha. It's been a bad year.
Yeah.
And, you know, those guys were not, those were surprises.
All right. Let's go through your list of your wish list. Now, if you were to put together a list of bands that you want to see, now they could be bands that's been there before. But this is a common thread you see on Reddit and on the Twitter and on the Infaru. We want to hear yours, thewhatpodcast.com or at thewhatpodcast on Twitter. Let's hear your wish list there. Barry Corder, let's go through it.
My list is sort of all over the place because Daniel got me thinking about a lot of different things.
Really?
Dolly is at the top.
Sure.
But after our conversation, it made me think, do I want to see people that I haven't seen? Do I want strictly bucket list items? Do I want bands that I think actually fit at Bonnaroo?
Interesting. You actually took us. You're trying to find a theory and things.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I don't have a cohesive. I'll give you an example. On my bucket list, but he's somebody that I'm not sure works at Bonnaroo, would be Van Morrison. I've never seen him.
Also on my list, Barry Corder.
Very good.
Yes.
I would absolutely love to see Van Morrison.
Okay. Van Morrison at Bonnaroo brings up a conversation that I've had a lot with friends of mine. He's a lot like Morrissey in that as much as I would love to see him at Bonnaroo, you don't know what kind of show you're getting.
Absolutely.
Out of him.
Stevie Wonder can be that way. If Stevie decides to go deep, deep, deep,
yeah,
and you're wanting nothing but hits,
yeah.
And Stevie Wonder is very similar to Van Morrison in that way. If he decides to go nothing but deep hits, right. Deep tracks, and you wanted hits, you know, you're maybe not stuck.
Yeah.
Van Morrison, Prince could have been that way. James Brown used to be that way. You know, he did a show here at Riverbend that people didn't like because they thought they were going to get number one hits, and he didn't want to do number one hits. So Van Morrison, depends on where you put him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Van Morrison at 3 p.m. on the what stage? I'm not sure that works for me.
And it probably wouldn't work for him either.
Probably not going to work
He's
for
gonna
him.
He's going to be pretty cranky if that's the case.
So, but he is definitely high on my list.
He's high on my list too. Van Morrison on the which stage? 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I would be into that. I just never thought that he got the credit as a songwriter as he deserved.
I guess it depends on which circles. He's God in my house and
really?
Always has been.
That's awesome. Bob Dylan, of course, great songwriter, but I always thought that Van Morrison had something a little bit more interesting for me than Bob Dylan.
Yeah, well, a beautiful singing voice.
There's one. Yeah, that's one. All right, who else are you putting on your list there, Barry Corder?
And then, so on my want-to-see list, I would love to see Adele.
Adele's been to the farm.
I didn't see it.
Yep. This was almost 10 years ago. It's right before she hit with Rolling in the Deep, and she was on, if I'm not mistaken, that tent. And I walked by it because I knew of her because I was in this industry, and they were working her the song to us at the time, the record label was. I remember walking by and being like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have thought that was going to be the superstar of the decade?
Well, you know, we did the do-overs before on the podcast. That would be one for sure. Right. But I'd love to see Adele. I would love to see McCartney, and that's the reason this comes up, because of Daniel saying that. And when he said it, and it still rolls in my head, I'm like, I've seen it, done it, but it is McCartney, and I probably would want to see him every single chance I
get. When I said to him, I don't know if I want to see that again, that's not negative. I get it. I don't know. I've had the moment.
Right.
But let's be honest, I'm probably going to the show.
You don't want to miss it.
If that ends up being, a thing that happens at Bonnaroo 2019, I'm probably going to go, let's be honest.
Dolly, Van Morrison, Adele, McCartney for sure. And then sort of in the line of, these are acts that I would love to see. I'm not even sure they're touring type of thing. I would love to see Joe Jackson.
Wow.
Elvis.
That's fascinating.
I love Joe Jackson. If he were to
would be really, really interesting.
Yeah. If he were to come and do the I'm the Man era stuff, Beat Crazy, that whole trilogy.
Hang on a second. I know this, boy, talk about a generational divide. I know you and a couple of guys at our camp would be into that, but do you think anybody would be at a Joe Jackson show?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't make my list for anybody else.
I know, but that's what's so fascinating about it. It would work. It would absolutely work, but I don't know if anybody would be there.
I don't know. Mm. And along those lines, and he was there before, but he was there with Alan Toussaint, was Elvis Costello. I would love to see Elvis doing a lot of Elvis hits, or really anything. I love Elvis Costello.
I'm not going to get too sentimental like those other stick of Valentine's. Cause I don't know if you are loving somebody. I only know it isn't mine. Allison, I know this world is killing you. Oh, Allison.
So Elvis Costello makes a lot of sense, and it would be an amazing get, and it would be a lot of fun. It's going to be one of those shows that I think we look back on and be like, that didn't work.
It depends. He's like Van Morrison. Depends on what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the Nashville album. He did the stuff with Burt Bacharach.
I love that Burt Bacharach album. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I loved it.
Oh, it's great.
It's all standards. And he's not going to do a standards. Again, this is not going to happen.
Depends on what he does. And then I'd love to see Timberlake.
Yeah, it'd be a great show.
And you're going to laugh. And I'm not sure it's one I would stay the entire time for, but I just hear it's such an entertaining show. I'm not sure I wouldn't want to see Taylor Swift.
Oh, man. Taylor Swift is not... Okay, so she does nothing but stadiums now, right? Because she wants to maximize her stage performance. There's just no possible way that's happening. No possible way it's happening.
Like I said.
And I know why. I know why you would say that. I know why you would want that. But she has such a controlled environment in which she wants to perform. And she wants every bit of stagecraft up to her and by her hands. If you thought that Kanye's first show was stagecraft to a point where it was belligerent and annoying, watch out for Taylor Swift. Yeah. It's just not something that could ever happen.
It's a wish list.
I understand. But you probably should just go ahead. And the other thing too about these wish lists that are unfortunate is like you put, and I'm getting a lot of text messages from friends of mine about Drake or Daft Punk. Drake would work. But again, you're going to have to drop $1 million. It's $1 million plus. Daft Punk's never going to happen, I believe, and I may be eating crow one day. Daft Punk is never going to happen because if they're going to drop $1 million plus, they're going to go after the Rolling Stones. Yeah. They're not going to drop $1 million plus
on
Daft
Punk. Well,
they're on
the list, too. That would be on my list. But don't you think, isn't that part of the question we asked earlier? What does it take to get those other 30,000 people, if in fact that's what they want? If they want to get it back up to the 80,000 number, what's it going to take? It's going to take a Rolling Stones or a Daft Punk or...
See, here's
somebody
my
in
thing.
That $1 million.
I know we all love Daft Punk, but I have a feeling that deep down they don't move the needle. I wonder if they move the needle in people that actually buy tickets. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't know.
I tell you what, it's such a fluid market anymore. I mean, it's you used to could get a 2 or 3 year cycle out of some stuff, and now it's 2 or 3 months.
And Daft Punk doesn't really do a lot of shows.
No.
But I sure as hell hope that if they did do a show at Bonnaroo, everybody would come.
I agree.
Pharrell, all the buddies.
Yeah.
The whole team shows up.
Yeah.
All right.
Nile Rodgers.
That's a pretty good list. I'm going to start my list with, of course, Dolly and Van Morrison. So you've already got two of my five. There is another old legacy female that I might be wrong about this, has never been to the farm. And if she has, it was like year two. So you're going to have to, I'll apologize because I wasn't there that year. But when I think of like mid-afternoon, which stage, Angel Olsen's nice. I love Angel Olsen. Julian Baker would be phenomenal. But imagine if Bonnie Raitt was in the Tennessee sunshine in the middle of Saturday afternoon. I would lose my mind. I love her so much. Another artist that just doesn't tour much, doesn't do a lot of shows, but boy, she would just sound right. It would just sound right as a legacy act sometime in mid-afternoon. Bonnie Raitt, another one on my list. Now, I know we're going a little old here. We've gone basically to places where we're going back to legacy, but there's so many artists that have never even been on the farm that have so much cultural impact. You can ask why Drake has never been. I got to imagine because of money. You can ask why Coldplay's never been. Coldplay just doesn't fit probably the strategy in which they're going. Outkast is a strange one. Outkast, I don't get it. When they were supposedly on the lineup a few years ago and it didn't happen, it shocked everybody. But that same year, was it that year or the year after? There was another band on that had just reunited, that had just put out maybe the best album of the year. Why they didn't get on the farm makes no sense to me, and it makes no sense why they haven't been there ever. Now that they're back together, or at least kind of back together, why can't we get A Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
And maybe they're not doing anything anymore. I mean, maybe that run at Coachella and then the Saturday Night Live and then the album, maybe that was it for them because they wanted to honor a dude's memory, but I don't know. It just seems like it would make so much sense. And then the other one, that it's a long shot. It's a pull for me, and you may not know him, but in my world, I live and die by 60 Soul. It's practically all I listen to at the house. And the guy for me that I feel like never got the credit that he deserves, and by the way, he'll tell you he never got the credit that he deserved, it's a Chicago soul artist named Syl Johnson. So if you look back and you see what Bonnaroo's done in years past, when they had the King of Soul, Philadelphia Soul, and Solomon Burke on stage, nobody was there. And then 2 years later, he dies. They put all of these soul artists on right before they're about to go.
Yeah.
And Syl Johnson, he's written so many hits, and you don't know any of them, because they've been sampled time after time after time. Kanye sampled a bunch of Syl Johnson stuff. Jay-Z has sampled a bunch of Syl Johnson stuff. So if you give me Syl Johnson on a lineup and all of a sudden maybe they find Jay-Z and Beyonce as a headliner, you are going to get complete madness. You don't know it, but this might be one of the most sampled songs of all time. Kanye, Wu-Tang, Jay-Z, Public Enemy. They have just used this song time and time again, and it's that opening, and the man's made millions just by sitting around and watching everybody sample his art, his work.
That's a good one. It's got a little of that funky drummer beat to it.
And then, of course, you go down the other list of stuff like Radiohead. I really want to come back. National. I slept on the National for so long, and then I saw them in Atlanta at a festival, Shaky Knees. I was blown away with how good that live show was, especially at night in the dark. I want Jungle to come back because that show last year was good, but it's better at night. I think Daniel is exactly right. Tame Impala needs another spot. And I really love the idea, although they're not my favorite, and we've talked about this before. My Morning Jacket doing a late night, all night show is almost too good to be true.
I was standing in the field watching them, whatever, 5 years ago, six years ago, and a young 20-year-old, the daughter of some friends, she looked up and she said, "They are the perfect Bonnaroo act."
They're damn near close.
And I totally agree. I just, everything about it, we've talked about it in past shows, how you can just hear a certain song, a certain part of a song,
right,
and imagine standing in one of those tents,
yep,
whatever time of day, and it just defines that whole festival feeling. So I agree.
There you go.
I'm a huge fan of theirs, so I would see them in any occasion. They are the opposite of what I was saying earlier about the McCartney thing.
Yeah.
I will see them anytime, every time.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just love them. I don't know what it is. I love them. The McCartney, like you, maybe it's that. You know, this past year, and it was funny, our campmate Mike Dewar, we revisited that whole Friday where we went from Davey to Mavis, no, to Warren Treaty, to Mavis, to Nile Rodgers. And so the evening ended about 9:30, and I don't even remember who was getting ready to, and Bonavent, it wasn't that because that was later, but the headliner was coming. He said, "I don't want to see it because my day is already perfect."
Yeah.
And no disrespect to whoever it was, it can't get any better.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to the camp and decompress.
I love a man who's just satisfied. He's satisfied with his day.
He was right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like you with the McCartney. I mean, you had we all had amazing times, but what you had was transcendental.
So back to the McCartney thing, that same guy, Mike Dewar, I'll never forget it. After the McCartney, he got there on Friday afternoon, Mikey D, he walks around the farm, he sees everything for a little while, then he goes to see Paul McCartney. And the moment he steps back into camp, he packs his bag up, gets in the car and said, I've seen all I need to see. It's never getting any better than this.
Yeah.
See you guys next year.
Pretty strong.
He mic dropped out of the campsite. It was unreal. But that's
pretty
what I'm
strong.
Saying. Those are the kind of wish list things that actually come true that make Bonnaroo so magical. Let's hear yours at the What Podcast on Twitter or thewhatpodcast.com. Maybe we'll swing back in and do another show here in a couple of weeks.
Let's do it.
And hopefully we'll talk to you on the What Podcast. We'll talk to you then.
Hey. How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay!
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.